What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Hello, and welcome to the Carson Anderson program. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, on Tuesday, August the 19th, inching ever closer to football season, inching ever closer to postseason baseball. And good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Doug.
Anything exciting last night?
I mean, just what happened down at Comerica Park was exciting enough for all of us.
It's pretty awesome.
But that game was done like 9 o'clock, and then like, now what? Now what do I do? Flip it around.
I didn't catch much of the morning show today, unfortunately, but there weren't people still bitching about this team, are there?
No, I don't think so. I just saw something on social media about it.
And I was
reminded of last night when they had mentioned that Houston had lost the game on Sunday night. I'm like, I don't want people doing the yeah buts.
Well,
when it comes to this team right now, because it's the way to discount anything positive that happens, they throw a yeah but. And I was like, just stop.
Well, we still don't have freaker outers, do we? People who are freaking out?
I would hope not.
There's this team made us very uncomfortable, but there was a reason. You know, there's short-term results, long-term conclusions. There's long-term results, long-term conclusions. And I feel more comfortable with the longer-term results. But if you go with what your eyes showed us most recently, okay, the Tigers are winning the American League and going to the World Series. If you go with what your eyes showed us most recently. Hey, they are 8-3 in their last 11. They just smoked one of the teams that's challenging for them. Toronto, maybe Toronto's cooling off a little bit. It's Detroit's league to win, right? But I'm not going there. So they're a really good baseball team. And when they were losing a whole bunch, they weren't playing like it, but they were still a really good baseball team, and they're back to being a really good baseball team. And it's a product of... You know, the 6 months that led up to the dreadful few weeks that they were slow to pull out of. And the one thing about the team in the first half of the season, stress-free first half, always bounce back. And this bounce back isn't as definitive, but you got to love having Scuba go in tonight. And then the hands cut out for him against Hunter Brown. But at the end of the day, you know, they still have this gear in them. Like, even if you were one of the freak outers, you can look at that and say, hey, at least they still have that gear in them to go play the way they've played lately, including last night's win over a really good team. And do I care it was 10-0? I mean, 10-0 was fun and everything, but it only counts as one. It's no more different than those 2-1 wins over the White Sox. And people say, oh, it's only a run. Whatever. I mean, they're winning the games. They're winning more games than not. They're back to doing that. And they got themselves in a good spot here in the American League. I mean, they've now 4.5 games up on. If I look at, you know, winning the division is obviously the first thing they're trying to do. But if you look at that next goal, the next goal to me is be one of the top two seeds. I don't really care if you're the top seed or the second seed. Just be one of the top two seeds and get that bye and set up your pitching. Then I think they're going to be in really good shape, Scott. I still like this team. Liked them from the first series of the year, and I still like them now, and we liked them. I think you and I tried not to panic and tried to get people not to panic, but there was some panic.
There's some panic, yeah. And there's still, you know, plenty of games to go, 35 games or whatever it is left.
They'll probably have a losing streak or two.
Yeah, but they've got a comfortable lead in the division. They are playing much better baseball than they were 3 weeks ago, for sure. That's encouraging. we talked a little bit yesterday about Jack Flaherty and how kind of crazy his game log has been. Now it's seven starts, and his last seven starts, four have been against really good teams and three not good teams.
Mm-hmm.
The four starts against the good teams, he's been fantastic. The three starts against bad teams, he has not been. So last night was another, I mean, here you go. Seven shutout innings. He was a machine last night. He looked great. And after a lot of pitches in the first inning, settled down, got his stuff together, and just mowed him down. And,
great performance.
Yeah, and it sets everything else up. And last night felt like that was a game that the Tigers are playing almost every night in the first half of the season. Maybe a slow start, but then all of a sudden you get an inning and something happens and everybody starts to catch fire. They hit, three or four home runs last night, a couple of triples last night. And they were hitting on all cylinders, and that was very important for this team.
Well, there was a lot to like about last night's game. A lot to like. What was the best moment or thing that came out of last night's game? Gator? Let's do it now. 10 texts. What was the best thing or moment to come out of last night's game? Text us at 248-539-9797. Make sure you sign your text. Tell us what you loved about last night's game and why. I thought something was just fantastic, and I can't wait to talk about it. We'll see if anybody agrees. But what was the best thing out of last night's game? A 10-0 Tiger win. Tigers now back to the top spot in the American League. 4.5 clear of Houston for the first round bye. 8.5 up on Cleveland in the division. What was the best thing or moment to come out of last night's game? 248-539-9797. Lots to choose from. Get your texts in. Sign them. We'll read the 10 texts and tell you what ours was. Coming up today at 10:20 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I love doing it for a topic like this, because the topic is, what was the best part of last night's win, or the best thing that came out of last night's win over the Houston Astros, 10-0 down at Comerica Park? Because there is so much to love. We do the 10 text thing, and thank you everyone for signing your text. Gator, I mean, I have one that I just thought was amazing, and I'm looking down here and I'm not sure anybody said it, but here we go. Sean in Champaign, Illinois says, the return of Mr. Turtleneck. Alex Lang should be a huge addition to the pen down the stretch. He should be. You know, there was a bit of a calculated risk by the organization. They could have gone bigger at the trade deadline. They definitely tried to acquire some bullpen arms. You know what I'm starting to think about today? Was a few of those bullpen arms that haven't exactly hit the ground running or torn it up since they got here, was a little bit of, hey, we just need some warm bodies to get us through to Alex Lang's return. And maybe that's the purpose that those arms served. Just something to think about. I mean, because they probably at the time were going, we might have to use Melton as a starter because Reese Olson is out and now might need a little bit more bullpen help. But yeah, Alex Lang has a chance to be a huge addition. Now, it's not like he was perfect, but you can see why they like him so much.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolute reason to. The guy throws mid to high 90s and then has this wipeout, drop off the face of the earth, knuckle curveball. The issue with him is making sure that he can find the ability to command the strike zone with those pitches. Because when you have that high-low velocity, when you're going from 97 dropping down to 88, and I think he had a changeup going at 91, but that knuckle curveball was just dropping off. That is a serious weapon to have when you're looking for guys to get, when you want guys to have the swing and miss stuff, right?
Yep.
Particularly when they come out of the bullpen. Because when they come out of the bullpen, generally speaking, you can be put into a rough situation.
Yep.
Hey, we got bases loaded. There's two outs. We need to get somebody out here. And then here comes a guy who can get you to swing and miss and limit the damage, and there you go. No, it's he's not going to be, 10 out of 10 when it comes to his appearances the rest of the season. But he's a guy that is someone that can offer something for this bullpen and help to solidify it. And yeah, to your point, looking back at what they added, it wasn't eye-popping. Mm-hmm. Right, Kyle Finnegan's a really nice addition, and he's proven to be an excellent addition to this point. I'm still knocking on wood here, but he was very good at Washington. They didn't go out and get the guy that we all wanted. We wanted Bednar.
No, and Finnegan's been better than Bednar, it's okay. So, I mean, heck, I wanted Jake Bird, and Jake Bird got sent down by the Yankees after they traded for him. So maybe Scott Harris knew what he was doing. It's funny because now I'm looking at a reshaped late in the season bullpen, and you start going, okay, they can rely on Vest. Other people have made them feel a little bit sketch about whether or not they can handle high leverage situations, but can Vest be joined by Finnegan? Maybe Alex Lang. It's a bit early, but maybe Alex Lang and Troy Melton to make up four arms that start to feel like, okay, Melton is this year's Brisky. And maybe Lang is this year's Lang, and Finnegan is this year's Holton. You know, that bullpen that was so reliable down the stretch. It's weird to have the best record in the American League and still trying to be figuring out roles in the bullpen. But that's the thing, is they might have the material to have a pretty good foursome that they can rely on. And there are the other guys that can be useful, but Holton, I hope can get returned to form, and we certainly are rooting for Lang. There was reasons to be encouraged, and he got to find the strike zone, of course. But
well, that's the thing, is if he can command the strike zone, then that's a welcomed addition to the bullpen. If he can't, then it's okay. Find somebody else who can.
Yeah,
right. I mean, he's going to have his opportunities. Last night, you could tell even before Dan Pietri was mentioning it on the television broadcast how he just looks like he's way overhyped for this one. You could tell that he was. I mean, he was heart beating through his chest, and you could tell that it meant something for him. For a guy that hasn't pitched in the majors since last May, a year ago May. So it was nice to see him get the outs in the inning without giving up a run, preserving the shutout, because it does matter. You know, you don't want 10-0 looks so much better than 10-2. It's a mental thing. That's all I'm saying. It's a mental thing, and these guys, there's pride in that. Just as much as there's pride in Houston for wanting to score a run to spoil it, it's the little battles, but it's a good battle won by Alex Lang. The other arm that I'm waiting on to see is the player they got from Cleveland, Paul Sewald. Hopefully he's ready to start his rehab assignment, because there's good with Paul Sewald if he's able to pitch. If he's not, then so be it. Then it's not going to happen this year. But that's another arm that might help contribute out of the bullpen. And when you start thinking about, if you dare to dream and start thinking about the playoff roster, and you start putting together the pitching staff, you know, having a guy like that, if he's good enough, and this is a guy who's got a low whip throughout his career, 1.15 whip in his career. This is a guy who is he's done a real nice job with more strikeouts and innings pitched throughout his career as well. If he's able to contribute, now what that does, it takes the pressure off of even thinking about having a guy like maybe Chris Paddock doesn't make the roster, because you've got these guys in a bullpen that can be way more reliable.
So far, we've read one of the 10 texts. We really had a lot to say about the one. Oh,
that's why we had 10 texts.
10 texts, yeah. Oh. Number two comes from Miguel in Brownstown. The best thing to come out of last night's game, Jack Flaherty pitched his game, even being that far ahead. Andrew in Woodhaven, Colt Keith being a future all-star. Greg in Dearborn, consider me a chick because I love the long ball. There's plenty of them.
There you go.
From Brian at UPS, Sweeney finally pulled his head out of his butt. Boy, that Sweeney text we got yesterday did not age well, did it?
I know it did not.
The guy who chumped AJ Hinch for continuing to parade out Trey Sweeney and champed Trey Sweeney for being a softball player who's made it to the majors.
Well, it was a great game for Trey Sweeney.
It really was.
It's one, you know, his numbers on the season aren't very good, but he was certainly, I mean, that was eye-popping last night to have a triple and a home run.
What we said yesterday when we got that text is, look, AJ uses guys in situations, and he'll still use, as long as he's on the roster, guys are going to, like Trey Sweeney, are going to get used in situations where they have a better chance of being successful. Last night he was very successful. Adam in Heartland says, the best thing out of last night's game was Flaherty's turnaround game. Eric in Brighton says, it's Jack Flaherty pitching seven innings, period. No runs.
Three hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts.
Two of the hits came in the first inning. He then hit a batter in the second inning, gave up a hit, I think, the fourth, wiped him out with a double play, and mixed in a whole bunch of 1-2-3 innings, struck out nine, 11 whiffs. I think it was 24. He had 19 whiffs, 19 swings and misses his previous start, which was a season high. This time he had 24 called strikes, which was a season high, and back-to-back starts. Flaherty's dialing it back in, people.
Yeah, he, 90 pitches total, 60 of them were for strikes. That's a pretty good percentage.
Michael and Celine says, best thing was Flaherty getting through five innings without blowing up. Drew in Chesterfield says, Flaherty dominating, needed this good start for a playoff stretch. Hunter in California says, it was Troy Melton showing consistency in any situation. So there's a couple things here. One is, based upon the feedback, pretty clearly people love Jack Flaherty as the most important thing that came out of last night's game, or the best thing that came out of last night's game. Troy Melton showing consistency in any situation. Troy Melton has been a starter for three games. He's come out of the bullpen for three games. He has gone long relief. He has gone short relief. He has been an asset in most of those roles, and most at most times. His first start, he wasn't very good. In fact, I don't think. Do you have his stats in front of you by chance? I don't.
Whose stats?
Troy Melton.
Yes.
I can. What's his ERA right now?
His ERA right now is 2.7 on the season.
It's 2.7. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty good. He's brought it down after that dreadful first start.
Yeah. You get, so he gave up six earned runs in the first start in five innings. Since then, he has pitched 18 and a third innings, and he's given up one run. Is that good?
Yeah. Yep. 248-539-9797. So there's a couple things here. Did anybody mention your favorite thing or the best thing that came out of last night's game, in your opinion?
No.
Okay. Nobody mentioned mine either. I wonder if we have the same one.
Probably not.
We'll get to that today at 1031, plus your phone calls. And I do want to hear if you at one point texted, called, told your friends the Tigers are done. It's a hard thing to do if you don't feel that way anymore, and say, hey, look, I might have overreacted, but I'd love to hear from you. And if you still have major concerns about this team, what are they? 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your phone calls coming up. We'll tell you what my favorite thing that came out of last night's game, I just thought it was awesome. Gators got one too. Maybe they're the same thing, but nobody mentioned them yet. Thank you for all your 10 texts, and thank you for signing your texts. It is Carson Anderson. We'll get to that next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
I know you see them. The red, white, and blue trucks are everywhere. Do you know if your furnace or your boiler are ready to fight against the crisp fall air? Well, the team at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling are going to help you stay warm this fall with the most up-to-date and efficient equipment on the market. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Or how about some of the five-star reviews they have on Google? So whether it's your furnace or your water heater, a boiler or water filtration, heck, even if your air conditioning is not working right while we have the last couple of weeks of summer going on, give them a call. Schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, so we're going to get back to your phone calls here in a moment. Tigers playing much better, and it's a lot more fun around here these days to do this show. And certainly, 8-3 their last 11. They've won a few series in a row. They've got a Houston team now that they can close out the series with a win tonight, and a sweep would really put Houston on the ropes for trying to get one of those top two wild card spots, at least as it pertains to Detroit. But Gator, I was asking about everybody's favorite moment or what was the most important thing that came out of last night. And I just looked down and somebody on hold actually has mine on line three. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Then we agree.
Yeah.
We agree. And we won't steal his thunder. We'll let him steal our thunder. Chuck, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. Sorry to steal your thunder. Yeah, I thought that the at-bat by Wenzel Perez was just incredible. What did he have, 12 pitches and missed a home run twice, you know, by really close, and then he finally hits it out. Usually that ends in a strikeout for most people, but he saw the 12. I thought that set the tone for the game.
It was awesome. So for people who weren't watching the game or don't remember what happened or didn't see that part of the game, whatever the case is, he gets behind 0-2, okay? And he's down 0-2, strike looking, strike swinging. Then curveball for a ball, foul ball. Now, I think the fourth pitch was the foul ball that he yanked. He hit it a mile, but he yanked it pretty far foul down the right field line. When the ball first hit the bat, TV angle, thought, ooh, probably didn't look that way live. It went reasonably well foul. Then it was ball, then a foul ball, then another foul ball. Then a ball, so the count's 3-2. He looks at a 3-2 pitch, and this one he hits deep down the right field line. And as Jason Benetti, it finished two seats foul of the foul pole. And the next pitch, he actually keeps it fair and hits a home run. He was 0-2. It was a 10-pitch at bat. He hit two that had the distance that were just one that was just foul, another was a little bit more foul. What a great at bat for Wenzel. And got the Tigers on the board, took a 1-0 lead. Big moment in a big game. Wenzel Perez, who Gator, you keep talking about and have talked about, is one of the most unsung heroes on this team. Chuck, I don't know if you saw the quote after the game from AJ Hinch, but he said something along the lines of, you know, you can tell how much I like a player by how much I play him. I'm going to have to see if I can find that direct quote. But and Wenzel is getting a lot of playing time. So big moment.
I thought we had to score first. Because when they got the bases loaded with nobody out and didn't score, I go, we've lost. but I see when we scored first, it changed the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, if the thing about the whole why I didn't think they'd lost is, remember, Houston kind of did the same thing. Houston had runners at second and third with one out in the first inning, and it went strikeout, walk, bases loaded, and then the line out the center. Here's what's funny is I pulled into my driveway with the bases loaded and two outs, and I'm like, I'm going to sprint in and see this last at bat because it's top of the first and Houston's threatening. And when I got in, they were in a commercial break. And I can't find the highlight of what happened. But it says line out to the outfield. So the last out of the first inning, I don't know how – it didn't look like it was hit that hard. I think it was 80-something off the bat. I did look that up. But anyway, yeah, both teams threatened and had to be disappointed that they didn't score early. But yes, the Perez bat, that was, I thought, the best part of last night's game, and so did you, Gator.
Yeah, it's just Wenzel Perez as a whole, what he has done for this team. He had a bad month of July, and outside of that, he's played extraordinarily well. In August, he's hitting .340 in August with a .1027 OPS. You couple that with the other guy that I has really picked up his game, has become one of the steadiest Tigers all season long, is Colt Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Colt Keith is hitting .354 in the month of August with a .1043 OPS.
Yep.
You want to keep adding to that. Okay, how about Kerry Carpenter? What has Kerry Carpenter done? Kerry Carpenter has hit .283 for the month, but his OPS is .1010. You're welcome.
Stat of the day.
Three guys in the lineup every day with an OPS over the last month of over 1,000. These guys are carrying the team right now. And you go back to the beginning of the season, the first half of the season, you had guys like Gleyber Torres and Javi Baez and Riley Green. Those were the guys that were really carrying this team. Now you're seeing a different group over the last month emerge, and really the last 6 weeks, and it's Perez, it's Keith, it's Carpenter. You know, Dingler to an extent has kind of been on both sides of it with some flashing early and some flashing late. But they're getting a different contribution from these guys now than the guys that were doing it in the first half. The guys in the first half got to get back to playing good baseball again. Riley Green is at least being somewhat productive. You know, his average isn't good for the month, but it's gotten better in the last couple weeks compared to where it was in the first couple weeks. Torque has been remarkably steady, but it's Gleyber Torres and Javi Baez and Riley Green. They're the guys that are going to have to get back to some semblance of what they were in the first half of the season to really kind of lift this team even more and make them a favorite to win a World Series.
248-539-9797. Let's go to D in Detroit. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, D.
What's going on, DK?
Hey.
Gator Kane.
Hey, D.
On this rainy day, we got to get this big game in tonight. I know that. Hey, let's call Stephanie Mead from Fox 2 and see what that weather looking like. You got a number?
We don't, but I guess the shout out has been made there. Stephanie Mead from Fox 2. Will there be a game tonight?
Hey, let's get it in. Hey, shame on me, fellas, because shame on me, bro, because 2 weeks ago I hit the panic button. I was shaking in my boots.
It's okay.
We were giving up homers at an alarming rate, and I was like, this pitching is not going to get it done. Cleveland on our butt. And I guess I was wrong, bro.
No, it's okay. Look, I mean, that's the great thing about this, D, is that seasons are long, and I think the Tigers very authentically stunk. I mean, they authentically stunk for that stretch of games, but it was so bad, I couldn't believe that that was who they were. I mean, it's almost like Milwaukee is so hot, they're not going to keep that up. Detroit was so bad, they weren't going to keep that up.
Exactly. And one more point. Do anybody realize this overall team power we are possessing? Now, you would have thought the L.A. Dodgers would have guys with 30 or more homers, 3 or 4 guys. We got guys that we're going to have 3 guys with 30 or more homers, which haven't been done since 2009 with the great Miggy, Maglio, and Curtis Granderson. So we're going to have 3 guys with 30-plus homers plus a gang of other players with 10 or more. Oh, the Dylan Dinglers, the Baez, the Torres. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time you've seen this much overall team power?
It's a good question. They're in the top 10 in the majors in home runs hit this year. We
right up there with L.A., right, Dave? I mean, DK? We right up there with L.A., I know.
Let's take a look here. Tigers are 8th with 163 home runs. The Dodgers have 185. So...
okay.
Dodgers out in front. I mean, the Yankees have 195, but they play in that little bandbox.
Right.
So the ball flies out of there. But, yeah, the Tigers have provided a ton of power.
Yeah, I don't know if Carpenter will get to 30, but he's got a chance. He's got 22. It's a big ask for him to get to 30, but it doesn't matter. I just do what they can in the postseason.
Hey, Gator, all Carpenter got to do is hit 2 in 1 game, and he on his way. Hey, fellas, love the show. Let's get this big game in tonight.
Appreciate it. Shout out has been made, or the call out has been made to Stephanie Mead of Fox 2.
Let us know what's up.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, it's, I think I haven't looked at, I think the rain's supposed to stop.
Maybe. Well, I can say this. Dave Burkett, a Free Press Lions writer, said that no open practice for fans today is because of the rain right now. So
yeah,
that I can confirm without Stephanie.
All right, so what do we got? Chances of precipitation go down to less than, it's like 20% around game time, for what it's worth.
Well, I just checked Stephanie Mead's Twitter, and she has yet to post something today about the weather, so that's a little disappointing.
You're let down, huh?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
248-539-9797 for all of you not named Stephanie Mead, but in case you are Stephanie Mead, you can let us know if the game's going to be played tonight. Tigers with a big win. What was your favorite thing to come out of it? There is more to unpack from what we hope is indicative. Look, this was first half of the season, Tigers. It was the best that they can be. The truth is usually somewhere in the middle, right? And, you know, I don't think they were as bad as the worst version of themselves, but more often than not, this team has rewarded its fans this year. So it was a good win, good stretch. We'll get to more cool stuff that happened last night. Coming up next hour, Brad Holmes talks about whether or not he would add to this roster if a big move was available. You hear what he had to say.
Do we have to put another shout out to find out where we got that, what source we got that from?
What do you mean?
Well, we had a shout out to Stephanie Meade. Should we get a shout out to Kay Adams?
You want Kay Adams to call the show now?
Why not?
Sure, Scott. Go ahead and ask her.
Kay, are you seeing anything wrong with that?
We got two phone lines.
Oh, yeah.
They call at the same time.
Well, if Kay Adams is still in town and wants to call.
Saying, you know.
She was the one that asked the question.
Yeah.
Would you add?
Yeah.
Given the Trey Hendrickson rumors, maybe Micah Parson rumors, and blah, blah, blah. We'll hear what Brad Holmes had to say.
Is her voice in the cut too or no?
Yeah, I think it is actually, Gator. Okay. There you go.
Just want to give, you know, proper attribution.
Yeah, right. You miss 100% of shots you don't take, Doug. Michael Scott.
Yep. Gator's shooting his shots this morning, isn't he?
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
You heard us about recent air quality alerts, right? Well, if you're concerned about the air you breathe, contact CGC Home Services. CGC offers Aeris Active Pure technology, reducing 99% of airborne bacteria, viruses, and mold. We got one in our household, and my wife is very happy about that. Air or water concerns, contact CGC Home Services. They can help identify and prevent flooded basements and other water-related issues. To CGC Home Services and Connecticut for peace of mind. Learn more today. 855-339-4242. That's 855-339-4242. Anybody else notice when the Astros brought in position player Chaz McCormick to pitch that he kept balking?
He was pitching quickly.
He was.
He was working
quickly. I'm like, that's a balk. Also a balk. And there's another balk.
You think you were the only one that cared that he was balking?
I don't know if I'm the only one that cared. I didn't even really care because the game was 10-0 and they clearly white flagged it.
Yeah. So did the umpire, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like, you got to swing.
Mm-hmm.
But, unless it's going to hit you, you better swing the bat.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, balk, 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 man. Didn't really matter. And no, I didn't care. I just was cracking up. I'm like, this is like blatant. But like the Little League World Series, you can't balk in a Little League World Series because you can't leave the base till the ball crosses the plate. Like there's no leads or anything like that. And so they just get the ball and throw, and that's what McCormick was doing. And again, McCormick? It's McCormick, right? McCormick, thank you. Anyway, yeah, balk, balk, balk. But whatever.
What are you, chicken?
Yeah. How about Riley Green's home run? I felt like that was a cathartic big game moment for him. And he was so jacked. The dugout after he got back there, big moment. Big moment.
And there were a lot of moments last night.
Yep.
A lot of really cool stuff. I mean, I mentioned before, Colt Keith had three hits in the game. Mm-hmm. He also stole a base, had the home run. He's just, that's a guy you're watching develop in front of your eyes, and he's young, and second year of his major league career. And, you know, he's putting up similar batting average numbers that he did last year, but there's more sting in the bat this year. And his OPS is approaching 800, which is awesome. For him. And as much as I'm liking what I'm seeing from Colt Keith and from Wenzel Perez, and obviously Carey Carpenter has been great, I'm not thrilled to see the most reliable Tiger for most of the season up until the last month was Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
What's happened to Gleyber Torres? He had two walks in the game, which is great, but was 0 for 3. His batting average is now down to 259. You look at his numbers month by month. I mean, he's hitting 167 for the month, a 533 OPS.
He's in the midst of a downturn, sure. Yeah, I think
bad July too.
It feels to me as though not everybody is always killing it.
You know? Of course not, right?
Yeah, and so it's Gleyber's apparently his turn to be going through it. I feel like he'll be fine, but there's, you know, no guarantees that he'll be fine, but no, I feel like he'll be fine.
I think he'll be fine too, because he's been in the league for a number of years. He's a professional. He can figure things out. I just wonder if maybe AJ Hinch says, okay, we'll give you a day off here. or give you a couple days off. Or maybe like maybe tomorrow will be a day off because I don't think they play Thursday. So it ends up being 2 days off. That's a lot of that's something that the coaches like to do. Managers like to do. Maybe that happens. You know, it's McKinstry wasn't in the lineup yesterday. They were facing a right-handed pitcher, and there was no Zach McKinstry, who was another guy that's going through it.
Yeah.
I mean, Z-Mac, Torres, Baez, and Riley Green have all taken big downturns. Riley Green's bouncing back, which is great. Be nice to see the other guys bounce back. I'm not sure if McKinstry's ever going to be close to what he was in the first part of the season, but we had him for the first part of the season. It was important.
You know, winning those games helped, you know, give him the big lead and endure in that moment in time. They endured a push from Cleveland. The season's not over. They might make another run at Detroit here, but clock is ticking. Games are, you know, getting fewer and fewer, and the lead has grown back up to 8.5. 248-539-9797. Hey, if you were a Tiger freaker outerer, if you're still freaking out or still really, really concerned, tell us what it's about. I mean, we got to feel better about the way Flaherty has pitched of late. Feels like some roles in the bullpen might be starting to get defined that should put him in a better spot. I have a sneaking suspicion Holton is still going to be a player in there, and I'm not sure about Canely. We got a text, or maybe it was somebody on Twitch that said they should have pitched Canely last night with that kind of big lead. Would have been a good time to get him an inning or two and try and sort some things out. But, I mean, so starting pitching, you know, Morton, is Morton going to be, you know, Chuck Money? Or is he going to be look like a 41-year-old?
You just call him Chuck Money?
I just called him Chuck Money.
Wow. That just happened.
Yeah. Is he going to be a guy they can count on? Or is he going to be, you know, a guy that has a inflated ERA? He's done some good things in his two starts here in Detroit. Hell, he got named champ of the weekend by the people yesterday. So, Chuck Money.
Well, as far as Canely's concerned, it would be nice to see Canely come out and have another clean inning. He had a clean inning against the Twins on Friday night in that shutout, 7-0. He went one inning, just gave up a walk and had a strikeout. You got to build. It's little things, right? Tommy Canely was so good for this team for the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
And then he's been so bad since. In there somewhere is that guy that was good again, right? So hopefully they can find that and get that more consistently. Don't expect it to be every night, but hopefully it could be the majority of nights because that would be a lift.
248-539-9797. So Scuba goes tonight and always got to feel good about those starts. He's going up against Hunter Brown, but hey man, good chance to win the series and put Houston, because I'm sure Houston's coming to town thinking, all right, we need to win the series to get back into this thing. We'd love to sweep, but we got to win the series. And, you know, you mentioned the score and shutout and 10-0 and all that. I mean, they're professionals, but I wonder if Detroit scores first tonight or Scooble's just mowing them down early, if they're going to get a little bit dejected. I mean, they're coming off a bad loss on Sunday and then a bad loss last night.
Yeah, this is true, but they put out their stopper. You know, they've got Hunter Brown on the hill tonight, and Hunter Brown's awfully good. You know, he's basically matched what Scooble has done this year. So it would be demoralizing for Houston if they put out their best guy and he is bested by Scooble and the Tigers offense continues to roar. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And Scooble, these are the kind of games that I feel like the you know, your money pitcher gets fired up for. He's going up against another stud. You know, Wayne State's own Hunter Brown, who's got an ERA below 2.5. He's won 10 games this year. So this is, you know, I think Scuba loves these kind of challenges, right? I mean, he loves being on the mound for a game like this.
Yeah, and I think Tarik loves pitching in Detroit. Going to be looking at the weather forecast earlier today. I saw that the rain is supposed to subside by the time we're getting to game time, hopefully. So I think under the bright lights, we know that Tarik likes to show up.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback, Tiger fans, lots to love about last night's game. What did you like the most about this Tiger win over the Houston Astros? It has encouraged you And for the people who are freaking out, are you feeling a little bit better? Or are you still really concerned about this team? And what would those concerns be? They have played better of late. They're not perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect team. They still have to figure out some bullpen roles. Alex Lang, it doesn't feel like victory lap time. He did load the bases after all, but got out of it. And did stuff still look filthy. I think it's probably too early to think that Melton will absolutely be an arm they can count on out of the pen down the stretch, but it's looking better each and every time out. Flaherty looks like he has turned it around here a little bit. So some of those questions being answered. Obviously, the offense explosion last night. There's some other higher run totals over the weekend. Tigers seem to be back to form just in time for a stretch run to close this thing out and try and lock up that very important first round bye.
Is it end of the freakout?
Is it end of the freakout? Is it end of the freakout? 248-539-9797. We're going to talk some Lions. Again, if you missed it, there is the Lions open practice for those who had tickets today has been postponed or canceled, I guess. They got to move the practice indoors due to the weather, so people won't be out there to see them. But Brad Holmes did indeed speak with Up and Adams. Kay Adams, and she had a couple of interesting things, a couple of interesting questions, including one that was really specific to rumors going out around that there is a edge rusher that is available. Would you be interested in adding said edge rusher? Hear what he had to say in the 11 o'clock hour here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.